We have online applications on our website, which you just listed, and we look for some basic information. Okay. From there, we'll schedule 20 minutes together to learn more about you and what you're interested in doing, and then we move forward from there.
Thank you for that. Again, that website, loveincswc.org. Thanks for the time, you guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll have more Morning Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. There were mostly peaceful protests across the country over the weekend after the Memphis Police Department released body cam video of Tyre Nichols' beating at the hands of five officers during a traffic stop. He died 3 days later. Memphis Church Pastor Gilbert Washington.
We're praying for that young man's family, for his loved ones, for his friends. They're hurting, and we're hurting as well.
CBS's Jared Hill.
A February 17th bond arraignment hearing has been scheduled for the five ex-officers involved, according to Shelby County online court records. Each faces multiple charges, including second-degree murder.
Officials in northwestern Pakistan believe a suicide bomber targeted a mosque in Peshawar today, killing at least 27 worshippers and wounding as many as 147 others. The BBC's Caroline Davies.
A police official told the BBC that part of the mosque's wall collapsed with the force of the blast. Lady Reading Hospital in Peshawar has declared an emergency. They told the BBC that they were still receiving those injured in the explosion. Unverified images on local media show half a wall caved in, the mosque covered in bricks and debris as people clamber over the rubble to escape.
In Cairo today, cameras snapping away as Secretary of State Blinken met with Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi. Blinken says he raised concerns about human rights issues ahead of a meeting in Jerusalem with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to discuss a new surge of Israeli-Palestinian violence. The Chiefs and the Eagles are headed to the Super Bowl.
Racing around the edge, Scott is in! Touchdown, Philadelphia!
Philly crushed the 49ers 31-7 to win the NFC Championship on Fox. Eagles coach Nick Sirianni.
This is something we all dream about, and we get to do it because, you know, we did it better than anybody else in the NFC this year.
The Chiefs beat the Bengals 23-20 to take the AFC Championship, Super Bowl 57, a week from Sunday in Glendale, Arizona. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and President Biden will go head-to-head over the nation's debt ceiling when they meet Wednesday. Republicans insist on budget cuts before they raise the borrowing limit. Speaker McCarthy telling CBS's Face the Nation.
I want to make sure we're protected in our defense spending, but I want to make sure it's effective and efficient. I want to look at every single dollar we're spending, no matter where it's being spent. I want to eliminate waste wherever it is.
The president insists negotiating over raising the debt ceiling could trigger a recession. No school today in Woburn, Massachusetts. Teachers like Eric Scarborough are on strike.
It's unfortunate that we have to do this, but you get to a point where you've been pushed too far.
S&P futures down 35. Dow futures off 205. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, We would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road.
Drive drunk.
Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov.
Wisconsin DOT.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, February 1st. In Wood County, the Conservation, Education, and Economic Development Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the Courthouse in Room 114. In Portage County, the Portage County Public Library Board of Trustees will meet at 4:30 p.m. at the Portage County Annex Building in Conference Room 5. The Stevens Point Park Commission will meet at 6:30 p.m. in the Community Room on Michigan Avenue. In Adams County, the Board of Adjustment will meet from 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Adams County Community Center. The Planning and Zoning Committee will meet from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Adams County Courthouse. Family Storytime at McMillan Library takes place from 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. Family Storytime at Portage County Public Library starts at 10:30 a.m., aimed at preschoolers, but all ages are welcome. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Highs around 10 above this afternoon under mainly sunny skies. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight. Lows dip down to about 1 above. A mix of clouds and sun again tomorrow. Highs around 21. Upper teens Thursday, much cooler on Friday with highs in the single digits above zero. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 3 below.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Wisconsin Forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Happy cold Tuesday. This Tuesday, last day of January. January 31st, 2023, 1 out of 12 behind us. I don't know where it went.
I know.
It went very, very quickly.
It flew.
How you doing, Jane Manor?
I am really good. I am so glad we don't have reverb today.
Yay!
Yay!
You know, sometimes we try new technology.
It's a little glitchy.
It's a little glitchy, but I welcome you, if you were in front of your computer, to join us on the live stream. Whether that's on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter under As Goes Wisconsin, because we have a new fancy viewing system.
Yes.
That we actually got complimented on. Someone on the YouTube live was like, ooh, this looks fancy. I dig it.
Nice.
And so we have backgrounds, we have banners that say what topic we're talking about.
All the things.
And so I'm very happy. As someone who continues, I think this is a big difference between Jane and I. And she knows where I'm going to go with this. Jane is a radio person.
I am.
And I came from being a video person. And so I am very excited about the video stuff. Jane is making me happy by going along with it.
This is just the way the medium has changed.
It has.
You know, it's pretty much standard now, I think, for radio stations all across the country. You do streams now, which is completely antithetical to the medium itself, but that's a whole nother discussion.
That's a whole other thing. Whether it's, you know, same thing with podcasts. I mean, every podcast pretty much, I think, has some kind of video element to it as well. Even the technology we're using, StreamYard, is marketed to podcasters as
a way to.
I know. But here we are.
It is.
The blurred lines between the different mediums, thanks to social media and the affordable technology from what it used to be, right?
Like, true.
The barrier to entry to do any of these things now, I mean, not to have your own radio station, obviously, needs a little more.
That takes a little more green. Yeah.
The FCC is involved and whatever. Yeah. But, you know, to
licensing.
Have a podcast, to have your own YouTube channel that's very profitable. Like, cameras are cheap, relatively. But, you know, it's all these platforms are freemium models where you can have a free version and stuff. And so it's just such a different world of needing to be everywhere, all at once.
Everything, everywhere, all at once.
Exactly, which I'm going to promise to watch this weekend. All right, let's get started. So we have a very, very fun show coming up. In the second hour, we have two great guests. Jerry Deshane, who is the executive director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, is going to join us and talk about the reclassification of over 40 towns, villages, I guess we can't really even call them cities anymore because they were considered urban, and now they are not considered urban.
Right.
And so we're going to kind of talk through what the potential ramifications of that could be, and also just hear more about what the League of Municipalities is up to. And then
they're a crazy group, I understand.
They like to have fun.
They do.
They like to get cheeky.
Exactly.
And then at 12:30, Jason Joyce, who's the publisher of the Isthmus up in Madison, is going to join us, and we're going to maybe get some updates on what's going on in Madison. But also, the Isthmus in 2020 made the transition from being, it's always been an independent newspaper, but they transitioned to being a nonprofit and got their 501c3. And I think, you know, on the heels of what the conversation we had with David Haynes a couple of weeks ago on the evolution of newspapers, I think contributing and adding to that conversation of like the business model of being a nonprofit media company and how does that work? What are the pros and cons? So I'm really looking forward to that conversation. And then at the end of the show, on this day in history, because you know we love to do that, in 1846, 2 years before we were even a state, Carroll Truck College, our neighbor around the corner.
Right down the road.
Right down the road was chartered. And so Dr. Cindy, do you know how to pronounce her last name? We're going to have to ask her.
We're going to call her Dr. G for
right now. Dr. G, Cindy G, is going to join us to talk about the changes over the last 177 years.
I'm sure it's so much the same.
In 15 minutes.
Yeah, right. Tell us everything that's happened.
But to start off, I have to give credit to my husband for sending me this Wisconsin story that I think found its way on high school basketball Twitter, which I don't follow.
Is a thing.
It is a thing. This video from Wisconsin has over 1 million views on Twitter. And it is, the video itself doesn't tell you much. It's the audio of the video. But basically, I'll set the scene. So Germantown High School, which is obviously southeast Wisconsin, was hosting the Warhawk Invitational on Saturday, this past weekend. And the game was between Brookfield Central and Cedarburg. And it was 77-76. And there were 7.7 seconds in the game. There was a scramble for a loose ball. A player grabs the ball and tries to get off a shot at the buzzer and is fouled. And if you've ever been to a overzealous parent high school game, you can imagine the fans were not happy. And the announcer took it upon himself to, he had had enough. Let's play the clip. So my question this morning is, was that too much, or are you saying, preach on, brother?
It's long overdue.
I would say, you know, I know this, I do not have, as we know, I do not have kids yet. I would like to think that I will be an understanding parent since I am the kid of a coach who very much put up boundaries. And I think it was easier for him as a 6'8 man to put up boundaries with parents when he was coaching my brother or myself.
Oh, that helps a little
bit. Because he's like, listen, your kid's going to play if he deserves to play, and I don't want to hear about it.
End of discussion.
But you know, I've listened to different podcasts. There's like, this is in, even as younger than me, I think, but with definitely within millennials and Gen Z, the overzealous, inappropriate behavior of parents when it comes to their kid and their sports is too much.
It is. It's over the top. And it's been this way for a long time. My husband used to coach soccer.
Okay.
And he coached college soccer. And they were just as bad.
Which is interesting, because I think
you wouldn't think they'd be around.
They wouldn't be around
but
as much.
Apparently at some practices, and he did younger, you know, he had camps for a lot younger kids too. But he stopped doing it because of the parents. He loved working with the kids.
Well, and that's what I've heard from almost, I mean, that's teachers have said the same thing. Like, listen, I never quit because of the kids. I quit because of the parents yeah. or because of the administration.
Right.
And, you know, the relationship you have with your coach. And I think this is interesting because I see it much more as the side of coaching and parents angry about playtime and stuff like that. But it makes perfect sense that this is the same to go with the refs. You know, these like, I don't know if it's volunteer or if they get paid a little bit. They're certainly not making their living. WIAA refs in Wisconsin, no matter the sport, are certainly not making their living off of this.
No question. They get a little something, but certainly I don't think it's enough. I wouldn't put up with abuse.
Yeah, and it's one thing to take it from the coach because sometimes that's part of the game and you can tee up the coach. But what do you do, you know, with these like parents? Because we can't really hear it in the video, but in the write-up about it, you know, these parents were like yelling obscenities and swearing at the... It wasn't just like, oh, that was a bad call. Like they were verbally attacking the ref. And so I say hats off to this announcer. I think... I put this out as a poll on Twitter this morning and on my other social media channels, and most people have also responded saying, "Preach on, brother." There's been a couple comments saying, "Well, the sentiment is right, but maybe he shouldn't have told them to shut up." Well,
they're swearing at him.
I should have said this earlier. Shut up.
He could have said, "Shut the F up," and he didn't.
That's true. That's true. He was able to restrain himself from cursing. And so I hats off. And I would imagine to a certain extent, we can imagine the parents of Brookfield Central and Cedarburg and stuff. They care a lot. And I just always think it's interesting because it's also the realistic expectations of what and why are your kids playing sports?
Yes.
So few of them will go on to play in college, let alone D1. So even fewer, such a minority of people will go on to play past college. And so the expectation that sports are meant to be there as life lessons and character builders and learning how to lose gracefully, learning how to compete, and not because winning is everything and my kid's going to get a scholarship to play, you know, at Kentucky
and then
if
go
we
on
lose
to
this game.
Yeah, right. And then go on to play in the NBA, of course.
Yes. And so the lasting impression inappropriate parents and the example they're setting for their kids is such a bigger problem than a bad call. And I get it. You're upset. Especially as players, you can be upset and you can say that's unfair. I mean, and that happens at all levels. If anyone watched the Bengals-Chiefs game on Sunday, there was a lot of people upset about the refs who definitely do make a living doing this.
Yes, that's true.
You know, and so it's like people are doing their best. That's part of the game. At the WIA level, they're not going to have, like, you can't do a recall. You can't, like, go back and watch the tape. Like, that's just not feasible. And so sometimes there's going to be a bad call, and you need to be an adult and not set a bad example by screaming at the refs.
And isn't this one of the reasons why our kids are like the way they are? Because they're following the example of their parents.
I agree. I totally agree. So what do you think? Do you think this was totally in line and the parents deserve to be put in their place? Or do you think the announcer overstepped just a little bit? 844-967-2789. We're going to keep the conversation going after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
It's a lot of fun. Sit by the TV and watch them all. Cause Curtis Blow is rapping basketball.
Snuggle up to a new friend this cold season. There's someone waiting just for you. Pet of the Week is brought to you by Club Forest Bar and Restaurant and the Southwood County Humane Society. Club Forest Bar is proudly family-owned and operated since 1927, serving our char-grilled burgers, specialty sandwiches, and pizzas. Great for the whole family.
When you shop Goodwill, you don't just bring home a vintage dress or cat lamp. You bring home so much good to your community because everything you buy funds local job training and more. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's art supporting artists in their own words.
I'm William Shatner. I've been around a long time, but I'm truly humbled when I see the real battles our brave, paralyzed veterans have faced defending our freedom.
I was on a routine patrol, and we were in the desert of Kuwait, and the vehicle flipped and landed on top of me, which left me paralyzed from the waist down.
Okay, folks, this is heroism. That's why I'm proud to support Paralyzed Veterans of America. Go to PVA.org. to learn how you can make a difference.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station. WAUKradio.com.
We are the mighty, glorious referees. We are the pride of rugby league. We've never tasted victory, but we decide who wins each week.
Good find, James. Got last minute find, too, because we just added this topic to the schedule this morning. But this is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back. We are talking about over the weekend, a WIAA ref during a WIAA game between Brookfield Central and Cedarburg. Kindly reminded parents to shut up. And if they think they can do it better, the WIAA is always looking for refs, so they are welcome to put on a striped shirt and get on the floor if they think they can do better. I say hats off. What do you say? 844-967-2789. But we actually have a WIAA ref on the phone. My Uncle John. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great.
So, I sent this to you this morning because I feel like you have firsthand experience of being a ref and dealing with coaches and parents and even announcers. And so how did you feel when you watched this video this morning?
Well, first, you know, I was watching the action to see what happened, and then I heard the announcer, and I'm like, kudos to him, because any given night, you're on the floor, and parents are ruthless. And, you know, a lot of the times it starts with the coach, and it's the coach's attitude that then spills over into the athletes and then into the parents. But the parents are ruthless some nights. And, you know, you try to be as Teflon as you possibly can, where you don't let it affect you, and you do your job and you do what you're supposed to do. But we're all human, and at some point we just have enough. And fortunately, in the last year or two, a lot of the game administrators have been much more apt to have us, you know, point out fans, and then they address it and it gets a little bit better. But it's almost every night on the floor, you're going to hear from some parent who doesn't like a call or doesn't like their child got into a situation where we missed it. And depending on the age of that child that's playing, sometimes there's two referees, like in youth games or sub-varsity games, and you're asking two people to cut the court in half, and basically you're watching on any given moment. You know, five players, one referee's watching five players, another one's watching five players. And so the parent who is hyper-focused on their child, mm-hmm. who is only watching their child, misses some of the other things that we have to look for. And so Yeah, we don't see everything in two-man, and in three-man it gets significantly better, but we try not to miss things, but it happens.
John, is there, because with coaches, if coaches get in your face, and I know this having had a coach, your brother, as a coach, they choose sometimes to get in a ref's face, and then, but the thing is with a coach, you can tee him up, or you can tee up players. Is there any, what can you even do if a parent's out of control in a game? Like, can you kick them out?
You can. Okay. So I had an event happen about a week and a half ago where I was at a school that I had been at frequently, and there's a couple of people that sit kind of in the same spot, and we were three times down the floor, and they were already yelling, and they were on for things. And here's the key. A lot of times they don't know the rules. And so what they think is a foul or what they think is a violation is not, because they don't have the depth of the rule.
Yeah.
So in this particular case, there was a fast break that took place going to the other end of the court. I took my whistle out, and as I kind of went down the floor, I looked at him and I said, not another word or I'll have you thrown out. And I turned around because the play was coming back at me. The administrator was there. And, of course, the egregious person, I didn't say a word. I didn't say a word. And he was gone. And then I never heard anything the rest of the night. So we do have that ability. You don't like to do that.
But yeah, of course.
Again, it happens.
John, I think it's great that you're able to toss parents when they're like that. But I think if they want to come back, they have to write an essay about why their behavior was bad. To set an example for their children.
Well, that's true. So I'll give you another story real quick. I'm refereeing, and it is a 6th or 7th grade youth basketball game. It's in a tournament. And we were at, and this is when the masks were on, and we were at this, it was for 7th and 8th place. And this parent sitting on the sideline was yelling back and forth and so forth. And I stopped the game, and I went over to him, and I said, listen, your son is never going to remember whether or not they won 6th or 7th place in this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But what they are going to remember is the fact that I'm kicking you out, and you've just been embarrassed, and they'll remember that much more so than they'll remember whether they won.
Bravo.
All right, John, thank you so much for calling in. I'm sure I'll have more conversations with you about this next time we see each other, but I feel like you have very interesting perspective on this story.
Absolutely.
So thanks for sharing that.
I cut him loose.
All right, cut him loose. All right. I think, you know, this is probably a story that could have happened anywhere in the country.
Without a doubt.
But it happened in Southeast Wisconsin. So, you know, figured we'd bring it up.
We got to own it.
And, you know, be nice to refs. There's someone, the ref is someone like my Uncle John, who's just doing this because he loves basketball.
Likes kids.
Believes in the spirit of sports and what it does for kids. So just check yourself.
Be a better example for your children.
Yes. Or just know that there's going to be some announcer out there who might tell you to shut the F up. All right. When we come back, more headlines. The COVID crisis is over? Apparently. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
When that whistle blows, the replays show that we never get it wrong. We are the mighty, glorious referees. We are the favorites of the fans. They love to boo and jeer at us and pelt us with their cans. But we love being
from Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
One day it's bone-chilling cold. The next, the sun is shining. Hey, it's Wisconsin. Don't like the weather? Wait 10 minutes. It'll change. Sooner or later, the snow will go away. But right now, it's freezing cold. And all that cold weather can cause freeze-ups in your holding tank or septic pipe system. So be sure that you keep an eye out for trouble. And call Crockett Septic to help you if you encounter a jam. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. Crockett Septic, where the trucks smell like sweet cherry pie.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pump right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
Pride.
Left corner, three in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Struggling with icy conditions on your sidewalk today? Salt won't help much in these below-zero temperatures. The extreme cold makes it harder for salt to break down the water molecules in the ice. Stronger ice melts, such as magnesium or calcium chloride, work better, but they're even more harmful to the environment. Too much ice melt is impacting our waterways and damaging the infrastructure in cities. Experts recommend chopping through the ice instead. A complaint's been filed against Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Janet Protasiewicz. The complaint alleges Protasiewicz is violating Wisconsin's code of judicial conduct by talking about her positions on issues like abortion, same-sex marriage, and redistricting. Those issues might come before the high court. A UW law professor tells the State Journal Protasiewicz has not crossed any lines. In sports, the Bucks host Charlotte tonight. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Highs around 10 above this afternoon under mainly sunny skies. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight. Lows dip down to about 1 above. A mix of clouds and sun again. Tomorrow, highs around 21. Upper teens Thursday, much cooler on Friday with highs in the single digits above zero.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Right now, 3 below.
Very really cold.
Yeah.
And I wonder how the ice is doing on the lake. I would imagine there's more now.
I would think so. You still couldn't convince me to go out on a lake right now.
Any lake?
No.
Have you ever gone ice fishing?
No.
Would you?
Sure.
I think I would too.
Sure.
I feel like I would need to do it in one of those huts though.
I want a fancy hut.
Yeah. I want the Anthony Bourdain Have you ever seen that episode when he goes up to Quebec?
No.
It's in the first season of, I forgot which one came first, but it was basically the same show with two different, No Boundaries and I forgot what the other one was, but it was basically the same show. And one of the second or third episode ever, he went to Quebec and they, in a little like shack on the ice, had a 5-star James Beard Award winning meal. And
that sounds great.
It was incredible. Yeah. That is the most, one of the most decadent episodes as far as if you like food shows and you love Anthony Bourdain, RIP. I remember that. I'm like, all right, maybe if it was like that, I could sit in a little ice shack.
Definitely.
On a lake.
That, but I think, would be fun.
Shy of that.
It's 1 degree in Amory right now, by the way.
It's actually not that much lower than it is here.
No, you'd think it would be a lot worse. It's cold enough.
It's cold enough. Yeah. All right. Well, you are welcome to join the conversation. Wherever, whatever we're talking about, give us feedback. 844-967-2789. Because apparently, the COVID crisis, the COVID emergency status is coming to an end.
Mm.
And I guess to a certain extent, I don't know how much I've been acting like, I mean, this is as someone who had COVID in December, both of us.
Yes.
All those also other people in the Civic Media family. Also, a lot of other people in general had COVID between the triple demic, between RSV, influenza, and COVID. There are a lot of people who had something over the holidays. I don't know what the numbers are right now, but I would say in general, it feels like you certainly sometimes still see people who choose to wear masks, but not necessarily having any mandates anymore. But yesterday, Biden told Congress that the U.S. will end its national emergency and public health emergency declarations for COVID, which will kick off in May. Now, what does that actually mean, especially for those who are still, who kind of are acting like it's been over, and now they just, you know, the cold, right. It's the cold. So the move will end a ton of federal dollars going toward the pandemic. So this could mean boosters are no longer free, despite the fact that, flu vaccine every year is free. And I know that they were talking about at one point treating COVID boosters like the flu shot. Like, then so the vaccine kind of changes with whatever the strain is.
Right.
And so it'd be kind of crazy to think that if that was the public health incentive to continue to get boosters and treat it like a flu shot, that wouldn't continue to be free.
Absolutely. Especially because more people have died of COVID than the flu.
Is that still true?
I just pulled up the latest from January 30th of 2023. The 7-day average of deaths is 446 in the U.S.
Compared to what for the flu?
Don't have it.
Don't have that. All right. But it also means that tests are about to get more expensive. So a reminder to stock up now at-home tests, which is how you and I found out that we had COVID back in December. But there's some who are saying this could be wide-ranging chaos for hospitals and doctors. And it's not the only update from COVID that happened yesterday. But a new study also found, kind of similar to what you were saying, COVID is the 8th most common cause of death for kids.
Wow.
And so while children and young people make up about 0.1% of the 1.1 million Americans who've died of the virus, that's still 1,300 children. And this study found that COVID surpassed the flu and pneumonia as the leading cause of death for kids, following shortly after homicides and heart disease. And so given the efficacy of vaccines, the study found that COVID may be also the leading vaccine preventable disease. And this news comes as 90% of the kids in the U.S. under 5 remain unvaccinated. So, you know, I feel like COVID used to dominate the headlines, and we definitely don't talk about it as much anymore. But just a reminder that the World Health Organization lists COVID as a public health emergency, which is now will be contrary to,
the
U.S. policies. But they have said that the pandemic is probably at a transition point. And so some see reclassifications like this as an overdue acknowledgement of the world moving on. Others see them as humanity wishing the virus would just go away while allocating fewer tax dollars to make that happen.
Yeah, COVID's not going away.
Certainly not going away.
It's not.
And so I'm vaccinated.
So am I.
I will continue to get boosted.
Yep.
Because the two times I've had COVID, I got it post vaccination, post booster. At least I think I've had two boosters at this point. And I was still pretty sick. Not hospital sick, but pretty miserable sick.
Yeah.
And didn't want to move sick. And
it's not enjoyable.
It's not enjoyable. And the thought that it could have been a lot worse had I not been vaccinated makes me appreciate that I was.
Personally, I'm going to keep getting vaccinated and boosted because I'm still waiting to become metallic. Or magnetic. I'm sorry. I'm still waiting to become magnetic. I've been waiting and hoping and wishing and praying.
I mean, I'm just waiting for you to do... That could maybe be your TikTok dance. Because you saw all these videos that went viral of these... I think it was mostly women who were trying to pretend that their reaction to the vaccine. And so they were having like
seizures,
full body convulsions, uh-huh. and then posting the video on the internet and then just getting roasted by the internet of like, well, apparently the only fear of the vaccine is that it makes you a bad actor. So
I'm shooting for magnetizing. I want to be magnetic.
What would your superpower be? Is that what you'd like to have things be able to just stick to you?
I just think it would be funny.
I'm easily... Just a full office supply stuck to your body. You need a stapler? Here's a stapler.
Yeah, I just think it would be amusing.
Oh, all right. Well, moving on to our shadow governor, as Politico called him.
Ooh.
Is that 2 years ago when Politico did their big feature on Robin Voss?
Ooh, like shadow governor.
And I think they literally called him. That was the title of the it wasn't an investigative report. It was just it was a profile. And he is. I mean, hands down, he is the most powerful Republican in the state, and arguably as powerful as the governor in a lot of ways.
And that was by design. Ben Wickler, by the way, had a great thread on Twitter this morning.
He's known to do that.
Yeah. Just about some of the changes that the Republicans made when Scott Walker was a lame duck and basically cut a whole bunch of power that the governor's office had under Walker. And then they took that all away before Evers took over and then gave themselves a whole bunch more power, too.
Aren't there still looming lawsuits over that aren't settled?
Could be.
I think there is. But Robin Voss, Assembly Speaker, was on Upfront on WISN this weekend. And in general, I have to say, he's sounding way more amenable than he usually does.
Yeah.
He's still smug. He still gets his jabs in there. But it kind of is going on this theme. And until, you know, the actual negotiations happen and we see what the sticking points are, you know, I don't want to speak too soon, but it does sound like he's not being as... Even though last week he said most of the things that Evers had put in his state of the state was probably going to be DOA. But what he did say, what we've talked about a fair amount on this show, is his attachment to the flat tax. And last week that was last week, right? When Phil Rocco was here?
Yes.
And Marquette University political science professor who wrote a great piece about the flat tax. And we talked more about what happened in Kansas, which I still have to make into a video. But kind of how a flat tax would be very beneficial for a very small amount of people who are very wealthy already and not that helpful for most of us. And this was his quote. A flat tax, him being Robin Voss, a flat tax would be my preference, but I understand Governor Evers has concerns with that. But the most important thing for us to do, we have to make big efforts toward reducing our tax burden. Flat tax would be ideal. If we can't get to ideal, there are other ways to get there. Now, a reminder, we currently are at our lowest tax burden in state history. And so I don't know what the other ways to get there are. And I don't know what the other ideas would be besides more tax cuts for wealthy people.
I think that's the other plan. I think the plan is the same plan.
It's the same plan. It's just maybe a different
name,
different percentage of whatever the progressive tax is, and just a cut in what the top end bracket would be. I don't know, but I guess we'll see. But I think I'm at least happy to hear that this will not be a point. Like, how hard are they going to go to the mat for this flat tax thing when they start over with Evers' eventual budget? And where what are they going to fight over? And it sounds like while this is circulating, it may not have the there may be other things that Voss is more attached to than this, which I think is good.
Well, yeah, he's only doing this because he almost lost. That's the only reason he's doing anything.
Well, he's also indicated movement on negotiations to increase the amount of money that the state needs to send municipalities. Which,
excuse me?
Yeah. And maybe when Jerry DeShane is here next, we can ask him if he believes it or not. But as we've talked almost as much, if not more, as about flat tax on this show, shared revenue and what different cities on Milwaukee included, but even like across the state.
Yes.
The increase of revenue to different municipalities and mayors, no matter what way they lean, are saying that there is nothing left to cut. We need
more money.
And so he said, I think it's possible. As I look at the real problem, the mistakes that have been made are so gargantuan, it's almost impossible to solve without some new revenue. So, of course, he had to get the dig in of, you know, these mayors and their poor planning.
Well, they don't handle money well.
Such, you know, so we have to come in and save them because the problems that they made are so gargantuan. Yeah. But I guess I'll have to come in and save them. So, listen, I think a lot of them at this point are like, fine, whatever. You can kiss the ring and we'll just move on.
I'm sure, but I still find it laughable that now he's actually pliable because he almost lost by 300 votes.
But the one thing he's still not moving on is certainly recreational marijuana, but even medical marijuana, despite the fact that they're getting closer. He said, we're not that close. I think it's unlikely unless we can figure out a way to get some middle ground consensus. This is on medical marijuana. And he also, he thinks it's a compromise enough on the abortion ban to create new legislation that just provides exceptions for rape and incest and then clearly defines what life of the mother means, because that is not defined at all right now. And is thinking that should be enough for a compromise for Evers to work with. And I'm pretty sure Evers' line is at least going back to what it was prior to Dobbs coming down, which was a 20-week ban. As after 20 weeks, you could not get, you can no longer get an abortion. Which, for a lot of people who find out devastating diagnoses in the second trimester, are potentially forced to travel out of state if they have a non-viable child,
right?
Which is a heartbreaking, awful decision to make that cannot be made before 20 weeks for some of these diagnoses, just as a reminder. All right, well, when we come back, we got an election in 3 weeks from now, and one of the new GOP chair would like to change course a little bit on directives to his voters. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sweetie, want some fruit?
You have to use the right tool for the job. A power drill is the wrong tool to slice fruit. Just like an antibiotic is the wrong tool to treat viruses, including colds and flu. Antibiotics are only needed for certain bacterial infections. When they aren't needed, antibiotics won't help you, and the side effects could still hurt you. Ask your healthcare professional when an antibiotic is the right tool and when it's not. Visit cdc.gov/antibiotic-use.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire.
He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg, blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover. 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A reminder that no matter where you are, thank you for tuning in. If you're listening to a radio, if you're listening to the app, if you're streaming us, if you're watching the live stream of fancy new StreamYard, thank you for spending some time with us today. And as always, you can join the conversation. Give us your thoughts, 844-967-2789. So, I think we've been running this in the news, but I just want to talk about it a little bit.
Sure.
Because, you know, sometimes it just takes people a little a little while to learn, like, maybe we should not cut off our nose to spite our face. And one person who believes in that motto, apparently, is new chair of the state Republican Party, Brian Schimming, who is now taking the stance of encouraging Republican voters to take advantage of voting early, voting absentee, because it is totally safe and it is a totally valid way to vote. Who knows? Maybe he'll even get on board to bring ballot boxes back.
Voter fraud, Kristen. It's all voter fraud.
And so, I mean, listen, I am in the camp of voting should be easy, voting should be accessible. And so if this is what it takes for them to get on board with that message, and instead of Spindell celebrating how many less people are voting, having a Republican leader be in favor of democracy and making it easier to vote and encouraging people to vote and take advantage of the ways that we can vote, even if it means even if it comes from a place of him knowing, listen, we can't make up 200,000 votes in 13 hours, fine. I think that's fine. So, I mean, so far, it seems like what I've heard from Brian Schimming is kind of in line with what, was it Paul Fanlon who wrote the Cap Times op-ed as far as, you know, Brian Schimming being more of a Tommy Thompson era Republican and potentially reining in some of the fringiness and being a little bit more moderate, a little bit more compromising, a little bit more, how do we stick to our conservative ideals and yet not just create more gridlock and partisanship?
Oh, that was nice of you. I was going to say sane.
But it is a reminder that we are, as of today, 3 weeks away from the primary. And we all have something on our primary. You know, sometimes if there's not a statewide election and they're in the primary spring, there is not necessarily something down ballot for you to vote on. But for us, because there is a statewide four-person race for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, this primary is important.
It cannot be understated.
It cannot be understated how important this primary is. And so it is, as of today, 3 weeks away. And so I thought we could just, you know, spend a little time doing some housekeeping and reminding you of some of the deadlines so that you can make a mental note, tell friends so that they make a mental note, and then we're going to do this all again once we make a sprint to the general.
Yes.
So tomorrow, February 1st of February, is the deadline to register by mail and register to vote online. Now, so you should go to, myvote.wi.gov and check your registration. Make sure your address is up to date.
Yep.
Make sure that you, your name is there. But if you still need to register, you can do that online today at myvote.wi.gov. Now, if you don't get it done by tomorrow, you can still always register in person at your municipal clerk's office. And we also, in Wisconsin, have same-day registration. So you could vote, you could register at your poll on election day.
On the day you vote, yes.
But to do it easy online, tomorrow is the deadline. And then the deadline to do it at your municipal clerk's office is February 17th. So that's obviously a lot closer because the primary is February 21st. But then, as I said, you can register to vote at your polling place on February 21st. The deadline to request an absentee ballot, this is always a lot later than I feel like it should be because of the turnaround time.
Right.
But you can request your absentee ballot up until February 16th if you are a regular voter. If you are indefinitely confined or in the military, you have until February 17th. But just do it now.
Yeah.
Planning, and once you're there, you can also check the box to get all of your absentee ballots for the year of 2023. So they all just get sent to you. Because the truth is, even if you decide not to vote absentee and you want to vote in person, if you get it sent to you, you just have to bring your absentee ballot with you when you vote in person. They'll void that and you can vote in person. But at least you have it.
Yes.
And if anything, it sits, if you're anything like me, where you get your absentee ballot and it sits there just as a reminder, like a daily reminder of you still have to do this, even if you end up voting in person. And so you can also go to myvote.wi.gov until February 16th, but don't wait because they have to mail it to you. You have to mail it back or drop it off at your municipal clerk's office.
Do it today.
So just do it today. Yeah. Unless you don't know who you're voting for yet, but at least if you have it, you got it.
You're ready.
And then you should come back and listen to tomorrow's show with Jim Santel,
yes,
who's going to be here. And we're not going to get into like the nitty gritty of the individual candidates so much as, but instead we're kind of going to talk about what as a layperson should we know about the Wisconsin Supreme Court? What are the types of cases that they hear? What is the kind of experience that makes someone qualified to sit on the Wisconsin Supreme Court? How does it differ from, you know, what Judge Jennifer Doro does right now, which is, you know, what she is most famous for is trying the Daryl Brooks Waukesha Parade case, right? And how does that differ in the types of cases that come in front of them? And what should we be looking at values in an ideal world, not a partisan world, but in an ideal world, what is the information that makes us informed voters when we're voting on something that's so different than elected officials that work in government, but on the judicial branch? Because I don't know, like if we don't have that information, we just kind of default into what our party is telling us to vote for. Right.
Right.
Versus having some kind of toolkit to have an objective look. Because we're in this very weird situation, and I would love, maybe Jim knows this, of when was the last time that we had two right-leaning candidates and two left-leaning candidates in the primary where it's not just one kind of, there's, you know, before when there's one who's conservative and one who's liberal, and you just go into it knowing who you're going to vote for, but you're actually trying to decide between two candidates, what are some of the criteria that would be helpful? So, just my last moment, just go to myvote.wi.gov. All of your voting needs there. You can check out your ballot and what's on it already. You can go request your absentee ballot. You can register to vote. You can check out where your polling place is. Everything's there. Go check it out. And that does it for the first hour. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, Jerry DeShane, the executive director of League of Wisconsin Municipalities, will be here. Can't wait for that. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your home.